Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
You are a beautiful bunch of people this morning. And I'm just so thankful for your heart to worship, your heart to praise, and your heart to pray. And just believing now God is going to continue to work here. I'm excited. If you haven't already seen, going through our community, riding out on the highway, coming into our campus here, you see that we are getting geared up and excited about Easter. In case you didn't know it, Easter is just a few Sundays away. And we are looking forward to celebrating our resurrected Lord on Easter Sunday. Sunday is coming. And you're going to hear more about that, but Easter Sunday is quickly approaching. And with that in mind, I feel led to share with you, I know today, maybe over the next couple of weeks as the Lord leads, just a message, series maybe of messages that I am calling one. Say one. What does that mean? As we prepare to journey toward Easter Sunday, this thing about one, each one, reach one. Each one, reach one. Each one representing the church, you and me. Each one, that's you, that's me. Reach one. Reach one representing somebody that is unsaved. Somebody that is lost and on their way to hell. One, each one, reach one. And we want to be able to help you to walk out what God has commanded us to do from His Word in sharing the gospel, giving people an opportunity to be able to come to church here, especially on Easter. And whether you like what I'm about to share with you or not, some people are not going to come to church at all except twice a year, Easter and Christmas. And this is an awesome opportunity for you to invite someone, that one, to come here to be able to hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we want everyone in this church, each one, to reach one. So today, before you leave here, at every entrance, we have these little Easter invite boxes. If you don't mind up there, go ahead and click on that picture of the Easter box that's on the computer up there. There you go. We're going to make this real simple and easy. This box right here is actually an invitation for you to hand to somebody that you're praying for, that you want to come to church and join you on Easter Sunday. We're having three services, and we want to pack this place out. Not so we can say we had a large crowd, but because we can say we had lost people in here that heard the gospel and they got saved. That's what we want. Amen. And so at every door, there is a box like this, and on the inside is a chocolate Krispy Kreme donut. I'm just kidding. That would be nice, wouldn't it? When you open this box right here, there's an invitation to our services. The invitation's on the outside. The invitation's on the inside. There's information that you can click on here. And on the inside, you can't see it, but there's some candy inside of these eggs already prepared. All you have to do is take the box and put it in that one person's hand, that one person that you know that is that you want to come and be a part of our Easter services. You can add more candy to it if you want to, but everything is really ready for you already to take with you. Every person take one. Each one reach one. How many of you in this place right now know somebody in your life that's unsaved? Raise your hand. Each one, if each one of you would begin to pray for that one person and take one of these boxes right here and put it into their hand as soon as you can so they can go ahead and put it on their calendar And so these boxes are available. The ushers will be at the doors helping you. Each one, get one. Just one. We don't need one person getting 10. We need each one, take one. And make sure that you actually put it in somebody's hand. And don't leave it in your car and don't leave it at your house past Easter. This is your invite right here. Would you do that for me, please? All right, thank you. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. Say it with me. Each one,
reach one.
That right there is the heart of Jesus Christ. Jesus, he came to this earth, the Bible says, to seek and save those that are lost. And he's given the church the command to have the same heart that he has. When he told us in the Gospel of Mark, in Mark chapter 16, he told us, Jesus did, to go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. He says, for the church, you're the church, I'm the church, each one is the church. And we are to go into the world and preach the gospel that people will be saved. We need to go into the world. Did you know right here in our part of the world in Wayne County, you may not know this, and I don't know that the numbers are exactly right, so I just kind of put approximately because I believe it's actually a little bit larger than what they tell us. But did you know in the world around us in Wayne County that the population of people is approximately 120,000 people? And if you dial that back, even getting closer home to the world that we live in right here in Mount Olive, the population in the Mount Olive city limits, they say, is approximately around 5,000 people. You think about those thousands of people. That's not even counting right next door in Duplin County, Sampson County, Lenoir County, all these different counties around us. Think about all the thousands of people that are represented in our world around us that are unsaved and on their way to a real hell. People all around us. I know you hear a number, but every one of those numbers represents a soul. And God has called his church to go to them with the good news of Jesus Christ. And how are we going to go to them? One person at a time. One person at a time. Each one, reach one. Now, please hear my heart this morning. This message I'm about to share with you, and I'm going to try to kind of condense it because of the time that we're looking at right now, but I want you to know this message is not to try to put a guilt trip on anybody. It's not trying to make anybody feel bad. It's not to condemn, but it's to encourage us. It's to equip us to carry out the work that God has called us to do, and that is to seek the lost by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Everyone that is a follower of Jesus Christ should be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Everyone, each one, not just the pastor, not just the staff, not just the council and the deacons and the elders, but everyone who names the name of Christ should be sharing Jesus. So God help us to do that. Everybody that's saved should be sharing Jesus. And there was a man in the Bible who was saved that through his preaching, through his testimony, he won multitudes of people to Christ, and there's several I could use as an example, but the Lord put on my heart John the Baptist. John the Baptist, he was a saved man who led many people to Jesus Christ. If you read about John, and you can turn in your Bibles to the Apostle John's Gospel in John 1, he's recorded here, he's talking about John the Baptist. And listen to what it says in John 1, 29, verse through 34, chapter 1, 29 through 34, it says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. He's talking about Jesus. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel. And then John testified, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And I saw this happen to Jesus. So I testify that he is the chosen one of God. The message that we share as believers is the good news, and that is the good news of the chosen one, Jesus. That's our message. That's what we should be sharing with people. John the Baptist was in the wilderness sharing Jesus. And if each one is going to reach one, we need to make sure that we share Jesus, the chosen one of God, because he is the one that saves people from their sins. We need to be willing to share Jesus crucified and resurrected. Friend, listen, if you're going to share the gospel, the only way you can share the gospel is by sharing that Jesus came to this earth, the Son of God, and he died on a cross. He shed his blood. When you share the gospel, there ought to be the mention of the shedding of blood. When you're sharing the gospel, there ought to be the mention of a bloody cross. They ought to be the mention when you're sharing the gospel of Jesus who died. He died. He was buried. And then there should be the mention that he was raised from the dead. There's an empty tomb and he is alive. And he paid the price for your sins and God accepted that price by raising him from the dead. And because he lives, you can be saved and you can have eternal life. And you need to be saved because we are all sinners and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. That's sharing the gospel. Sharing the gospel is not saying, man, just listen, I know there's some truth to this. Man, if you'll just accept Jesus, everything's going to get better. Things do get better, but it don't mean things are always going to be good. How many of y'all can testify to that? But thank God he's with us. We need to be able to share the message of the chosen one, Jesus. And John made sure that Jesus was the center of everything. He was the center of his message. He was the center of his testimony. He says, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. He said that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John was always pointing people to Jesus. You know why? Because Jesus is the only one that can forgive our sins. He's the only one that can save us. He's the only one that can make all things new in your life. He's the only one that can set the captive free. He's the only one that can turn your life around like he has angels. He's the only one that can give sight to the blind. He's the only one that can raise the dead back to life. He's the only one that's the way, the truth, and the life. That's why the Bible says in Acts 4:12 that salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men which we must be saved. Jesus only. Hallelujah. He's the only one that can save you. And that should be part of our message. That's our message. John shared Jesus. When I preach, I need to get to Jesus as quick as I can. When we're singing like we were singing today, let's get to Jesus as quick as we can. When we pray, pray in the name of Jesus as quick as you can. When you're teaching the class, get to Jesus as quick as you can. When you're sharing your testimony out in the community or wherever, get to Jesus as quick as you can. Nobody don't want to hear all that drama dump that you're going to give to them about what it used to be like. Hey, let's get to Jesus and find out how he changed your life. Come on. How he turned your life around. Let me ask you this question. And again, I ask this question. I promise you, I'm not trying to put anything on you where you would feel bad or feel guilty or condemned, but let me just ask you this question here, just for you to internalize. Have you ever shared the good news of Jesus Christ with someone? Don't raise your hand. Have you ever shared the good? I'm not saying, no, I invited them to church, or I told them that the preacher, he preached a good message, or you need to come here to choir. I'm not asking you that. Have you ever shared the good news of Jesus Christ with someone? Have you ever won somebody to Jesus? I'm talking to Christians. We've been commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Have you ever won somebody to Jesus? I want to give you a path that you can take that will help you reach one, to help you win one to Jesus Christ. And the Lord kind of showed it to me in a real special way this past week. If you don't mind, put that photo up of the two astronauts. How many of y'all saw this story in the news this past week? If you don't have your hand up, man, you're just in another world. You might be like me. I don't even want to watch the news. But the Lord, I was watching that story and kind of reading behind it some, and the Lord began to just speak to me, and I thought about it. These two astronauts were stranded. They needed to be rescued. They were stranded on the International Space Station. If I read correctly, when they went up there back in 2024, they were only supposed to be there like maybe 8 or 9 days. But because of an equipment failure with the vessel they were on, they ended up having to stay there over 9 months. Oh, wow. They were there over 9 months on the space station. And for whatever reason, and I'm not getting into all this, but they were just left up there. And then somebody with leadership said, you know what? We got some people that are stranded up there that need to be rescued. So they, SpaceX, led by Elon Musk, whether you like him or not, they come together and teamed up with NASA, and SpaceX sent a team of people up there on a spaceship, rocket, whatever it was, and they rescued them astronauts, and they brought them home, and they're back to Earth where they belong now because somebody went up there to rescue them. Now, I'm going to just tell you how that got in me. How in the world did those two get rescued? We know a lot of people that need to be rescued today from sin and the world and darkness and from the enemy. How did they get rescued? It took a group of people who actually cared enough and had courage enough to get in that capsule and be launched up into space to go get them and bring them back. So the Lord reminded me that the path that you're going to take to reach one, to win one, that path is care and courage. Care and courage. So bear with me real quick. The very first thing I want to mention to you, sharing starts with caring. Sharing starts with caring. Do you really care about people who don't know the Lord? Do you really care about people who don't know the Lord? Do you really care? Because people can tell if you really care or not. If you're going to share Jesus, it starts with a genuine care that person is lost and that they're unsaved. Sharing Jesus starts with a God-given care to the one that you're speaking with. And John the Baptist, he had a care to share. And care to one, or care for one, means that you're broken for people who are lost in sin. And we need to be broken for people, because when we're broken for people, that's going to lead us to have a burden for those that are lost. You need a burden. And I asked the question this morning, Mount Olive First PH Church, do we really have a burden for those that are lost and without Christ and that are on their way to hell? We're good about pointing them out, and we're good about just like, man, they're all messed up. But do we really care that knowing that if they die, they're going to go to a place called hell? Care starts, if we're going to care to share, it starts with having a burden. We need a burden. God give the preacher, God give the church, give us a burden. And care also starts with prayer. Care starts with prayer. We should be praying, God, give us your heart, give us your heart. The Lord loves the lost. The Lord loves the messed up. The Lord loves those that are away from him. He loves them. I know you may think something of whatever somebody's doing or they've done to you, or because of what they believe, you may think, man, they're all messed up. They deserve. No, the Lord loves them people just as much as he loves you. He loves them. And we need to pray. Care starts with prayer. We need to pray, God, give us boldness. God, give us opportunities to share the good news. Pray for unsaved people to be receptive to the gospel. Care starts with prayer. And may we cry out for lost people. May we cry out for family and friends that are unsaved to be saved. I believe this right here. I believe that prayer and share are connected. I believe prayer and share are connected. How do you say that? Well, why do you say that? I say that because when Jesus was talking about the harvest of souls of people who were away from the Lord that needed to be saved, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And he says, pray. And so our prayers are connected to us sharing. And I just wonder, I'm making an observation right here. I'm not trying to say anything about the church. I'm just wondering right now, could it be that we're not sharing Jesus because we're not praying? Our prayer is connected to share. Oh, we're good about praying for needs and praying for miracles and praying, God, do this for me and God, do that. But when is the last time you prayed for those that are unsaved? Praying for those that are away from God to come to Christ. I believe the church needs to rise up in prayer because prayer reveals you care, and if you care, you will share. So I'm asking you to do this with me, please. Don't check out on me. I want you to think of one person that is unsaved, and I want you to write their name down. In fact, we have some prayer cards at the Easter stands at all the doors, and you can take that prayer card. It looks like this, and you can put the names here, but put number one. Number one is the one you're going to really focus in on, and then tear that thing in half like that. You can bring it to the church, put it in one of the boxes by the doors. You can come up here sometime and put it here at the altar, whatever you need to do. But I want you to focus in over the next few weeks leading up to Easter. I want you to put that one on your list, and I want you to pray for them that they will be saved. Will you do that? Will you do that? Many of you lifted your hands a while ago that I have somebody that is lost. Would you pray for them? It may be your spouse. It may be your children. It may be a grandchild. It may be a coworker. It may be a classmate. It might be a friend. It might be somebody that you always see in your little world of influence. But whoever it is, please, I'm asking you as your pastor, write their name down. Put it in your Bible. Put it in your car. And every day leading up to Easter and even beyond, pray, Lord, save their soul. Would you do that? And we're going to believe God. Because prayer reveals that you care. And care to share also starts with compassion. It starts with love, the love of Christ. Some of you love the Lord this morning. We love Him because He first loved us, the Bible says. And because of that love, we should be witnessing, we should be sharing Jesus, and we should be overflowing with the love of Jesus Christ. If we're going to share Christ, we have, like we've been commanded to do, we must have a caring compassion to those that are in the world, as in John's day, those that are in the wilderness. He had a compassion for lost people, confused people, needy people, hopeless people, broken people, sick people, rejected people, religious people. Let me ask you this morning, do you know anybody that falls in those categories? Do you know one who is living in the world right now? Do you know one who is in the wilderness of life right now? Compassion will move you to do something to reach them. Compassion will move you to go share Christ with them. Compassion will move you to take this Easter box right here and go and put it into their hands and personally invite them to be a part of our Easter services. Did you know this right here? That 82% of people that are invited to church by a friend, they said they would come if they were invited. 82% of people said that if their friend invited them to church, they would come. I mean, that's pretty good success. So what are we doing? What are we doing? Well, I wonder what Cracker Barrel's got today. Lord, have mercy. Help Jeff. I hope we can get down there to the buffet before anybody else does and appear knocking people over to get to it. But not willing to invite somebody to church. Man, God help us. 82% said they would come if a friend invited them. Compassion will move you to invite people to come to Christ. It will move you to invite them to come and hear the gospel at church. Compassion will move you to go pick up people and bring them to church. Hello, hey, right now, where's George at? George, We need van drivers on Wednesday night. We got a ton of kids in our community that want to come on campus on Wednesday nights, but their parents won't bring them here, and we got a shuttle going back and forth on Wednesday night, picking them up, taking them home, and we can't find anybody to drive a van for 30 minutes to go pick up a child. But we say, oh, I love God and I love people. Where are you at? Where are you? You see, compassion is going to, sharing the gospel is going to cost you something. It may cost you some of your time. It may cost you your comfort. But it's going to cost you something, and we have to be willing to pay the cost. And if you have Christ's compassion, then you're going to be willing to do whatever you need to do to reach those with the gospel. And if you feel so led to go pick up some children after a background check, may I add, we'll be glad to put you in a van to go pick these kids up. Sharing starts with caring. I'm almost there. I'm almost done. Sharing also starts with courage. Sharing starts with courage. John had courage to share Jesus in a hostile culture. How many of you know that we live in a hostile culture right now? And it's going to require courage for you to stand up and share the gospel in the face of opposition. It's not going to be easy. But we have to have the courage. And listen, come on, church. People all around us in the community that we live in, 5,000 in Mount Olive, 120,000 in Wayne County. That's not including Duplin County, other counties around us. All those people, they're all over the world. They need Jesus. And it's not time for the church to be scared. It's not time for the church to be a coward. We need to be courageous. And we need to pray, God, give us courage to get out of our seats and get into the streets. Get out of our seats and get into the marketplace, the community. Let me share this verse with you. Please write this verse down. Because it really, to me, it was like, man, it's where we are right now in Acts chapter 17. Verse 16 and 17. I think I have it on the screen as well, but just take a picture of it, make a note of it. Acts 17, verse 16 through 17, Paul was a man who was saved that won many people to Christ, and he was in Athens waiting for some of the other team to show up. And the Bible says, don't miss this now, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. How many of you know that our cities across our nation are full of idols? And he was distressed by it. It was a burden. And he saw that the cities were full of idols, so he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, listen to this, day by day with those who happened to be there. Two words that I underlined when I was reading this scripture, synagogue and marketplace. You know what those two places are? They represent today the church and the community. The church and the community. We need to have courage to share Jesus while we're in church. And I know you're thinking, man, really? Yeah, there's a lot of places that don't have even the courage to share Jesus on a Sunday morning. We need to have the courage in here to preach Jesus, to praise Jesus, to pray in the name of Jesus. We need to have courage. And what I have found to be true is that we are strong here in church. We are bold here in church. We'll take a stand and be courageous here in church. But as soon as we walk out them doors, we are silent, we are weak, and we are afraid. And we never even mention the name of Jesus. God, give us the courage not to be afraid, not to shake. Pray for boldness in these last days that we would have courage. God, help me have courage in every service to preach Jesus. Help us to have courage in the community to point people and share Jesus. Courage in a culture that is full of idols, that people are so messed up in their minds. And they're also intimidating as well, that no matter how scary the situation, no matter how bad and dark it may be, I will have the courage to stand up and share Jesus. And I'm just going to be honest here with you because my goal, listen, please don't feel bad. Because I can tell you right now, in sharing the gospel, I have been in some situations where I have been scared. Just about every time I share the gospel with somebody outside in our community, wherever, I feel nervous. I feel intimidated. Like fear wants to come over me. I feel nervous. I'm just being honest with you. That's how I feel sometimes when those opportunities come my way. I have felt intimidated by the situation and the people I were around. In fact, I was thinking about this when I was praying for the service. I remember just a few years back when I was asked to go over to Greenville Hospital to go visit a man there who was dying with cancer. He was somebody that knew me. I knew him, but it was like a surface level. We just kind of knew each other growing up, and I knew he was, man, this dude here was wild and crazy. And he was dying with cancer, but then his family told me that, I mean, he is very bold to tell you he is an atheist. He does not believe in God. And they wanted me to go over there and talk to him about his soul. I remember going, I drove to Greenville Hospital. I walked in the room, and we went back and forth in some conversation. And I mean, you think there's a man laying there dying with cancer, he would want to get his heart and soul right with God. And after we began to talk a little bit, I could feel my hands starting to sweat, and I could feel getting nervous because the reason God had sent me there was to share the gospel. And I began talking to him about Jesus. And as soon as I started talking to him about salvation and being sinners and that Jesus came to die in our place, he stopped me and became very loud and asked me to stop the conversation. And I tried to plead with him to please listen to me. Please listen to me. Let me share this with you. And he insisted. In fact, he actually told me to leave his room. And so I left his room. I left his room and walked out of the room, and I walked through the door into the hallway. The Lord quickened me and gave me some courage, and I turned right back around, and I stood outside of his room at the doorway right there, and I just began to share the gospel from the hallway right into the room. And I was like, Lord, on the way home, I was like, God, I pray that before that man takes his last breath, he's heard the gospel, and he will put his faith in you. We need courage. God will give you courage. Even when your hands are sweating, even when you feel like, man, I'm so nervous, I don't know if I can do this, God will give you courage. He'll give you courage, and sharing starts with courage. Last week, we had Adult Teen Challenge here with us, and how many of y'all were here for that service, powerful service? And in between services, Mike, you were there with me, and Pastor Steve was telling me that Adult Teen Challenge, They were over in Mardi Gras, Paco, and they had a team of there that were witnessing on the streets during that time of Mardi Gras in New Orleans. And while they were there, Steve told us, he said, you know, we like to get there where all the excitement is and witness. He said, but what we really enjoy doing is getting away from that and going deep into the community where the people live. And we like to minister to them and share the gospel with the ones that actually live there in that area. But before they share, they prove that they care, and they go into one of the local parks, and they start cleaning the park. And while they were cleaning the park, the people in the community saw all those men out there, some that you saw on stage here and that were with us last Sunday, saw those men out there trying to clean up the park. They joined them out there in that cleanup. And then the Adult Teen Challenge guys, they fired up a grill and started cooking food for all the people in the community that were coming out. They were showing they care before they share. Yeah. And Steve told me, he says, while we were there in that park cleaning it up, he says, man, we were in that park cleaning it up, and all of a sudden we came across a satanic worship idol, like an altar that was built there in the park, and we just couldn't believe what we were seeing. And one of the men that was there working with us, he says, I'll be right back. And he came back, one of those little old bobcat bucket thing, like a tractor. You've seen them, right? And they said they put a chain around that satanic sculpture that was up there, that altar, and hooked it up to that bobcat. Steve said it reminded him when the soldiers were in Iraq and they were pulling down the statue of Saddam Hussein. How many of y'all remember that? And Steve said they hooked that thing up and pulled that altar down in that park and brought it down. And he said within an hour, there was witches and warlords all around coming out, assaulting them and antagonizing them. He told it. In fact, one of them got so bad the police had to be called in. But you know what Adult Teen Challenge did? They stood their ground with courage, and they preached the gospel to them, and they did it in love, and they didn't back down. They just shared the good news of Jesus Christ. Pastor Kevin, if you'll come, we need to be ready to battle for souls. We need to be ready to battle for souls. Listen, the devil's going to try to grip every lost person he can to hold on to them, and we got to pray, we got to share, and we got to believe God is going to set them free out of the hand of the enemy and turn their life around to set the captive free. Each one is going to reach one, and if that's going to happen, we're going to need courage. Can I just announce this to you this morning? Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew and then for the Gentile. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. We must pray for a burden. We must pray that God would give us his compassion, that we would care enough to share, and that we would have the courage to share. And there would be opportunities for us to do that. God, help us. Listen, if you have missed opportunities before, don't feel bad. I have too. If you feel like you chickened out a couple of times when the opportunity was there, don't feel bad. I have too. But can we declare today that God is going to give us boldness and is going to give us courage, that I'm no longer going to be ashamed. I'm no longer going to back down. I'm going to pray, and I am going to share the gospel.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Would you stand with me, please? For the sake of time, I want you to do me a favor right there where you are. Would you turn your place, your chair, wherever you are now, just turn it into an altar and hold your hands out like this right here. Just join me and make this a me prayer. Make this a me prayer. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you would fill me with your love. Fill me with your compassion. Lord, there's so many unsaved people around us in this world, 120,000 in this county of people, thousands that are without you, 5,000 right here in Mount Olive, many of them unsaved. In our schools, they're unsaved. Co-workers unsaved. Family members unsaved. Friends unsaved. Lord, I'm asking you right now that each one would reach one. God, please give me courage. Please give me boldness. Help me to pray for that one, Lord, in my life right now that's lost, that they would be saved. Help me not to give up on them. Help me not to complain about them, but just to pray for them and to proclaim you, Jesus, to them. I pray for this church. God, stir us right now, God. Lord, I just ask you, if your Holy Spirit is working where there needs to be conviction, then so be it, Lord. Convict us, challenge us, inspire us, equip us. Whatever we need to do, God, to fulfill your command to go into all the world and preach the good news so those that believe will be saved. And unfortunately, those that don't believe will be condemned. Give us your boldness, God. I receive it right now in my life, right here today. Fresh boldness in my life, compassion, burden for people, no matter who they are. God, do it in this church. Do it in me, God. Thank you, Jesus. Would you join me? And let's just declare this in song right now, just to fill us, to fill us and use us. Use us. Use us.